What I want to talk to you about today is death. The entire Torah portion is wrapped around death. So the first thing we get is the red heifer, which talks about how do you deal with coming in contact with death. Then we have the death of Miriam. We have the death of Aaron. We have Moses told, you're going to die in the wilderness. And then we got snakes. This whole Torah portion is wrapped up in death, so I'm going to talk about it. One of the things about the world, as you all know, is there's stuff that happens that we don't understand. And there's more going on in the world than what we can figure out. And by the way, that is the flaw in materialism. Because materialism believes that the only thing that matters is what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and observe. So they try and do things like say, well, all of your emotions are just chemical processes that are going on in your brain. It's all rational. It can all be explained. There's a Hebrew word for that, baloney. And the red heifer is what tells you that. Because what the red heifer does is it tells you how to deal with death. And there is a ceremony. And by the way, I don't like your translation, Luke. Your translation says ceremonially unclean. The way we think of ceremony is sort of something that can be done or not. No. With the red heifer, it is not just a ceremony. It is, in fact, something real that is doing something that we can't observe, but God tells it. So God tells us this is how you deal with coming in contact with death. And it's important because as a minimum, if a priest tries to go into the tabernacle while he is ceremonially unclean, ceremonially again, he is subject to die. So it's not just a ceremony. It is something that has reality that we just don't understand. And by the way, I found another wonderful rabbi, Yaakov Sinclair. And one of the things that he was saying is there's three words for law that are translated law in your Bible in Hebrew. The first one is mishpat, and mishpatim are laws that we can understand. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Virtually every society in the world has some variation on that, whether they believe in God or not. So mishpatim are obvious. Edut are laws that are testimonies of faith. So Shabbat, when it says do Shabbat, what you're doing is you are testifying that you believe God and you have faith in Him. So that's what edutim are. And then chukat, and that's what the red heifer is. And those are laws that are self-contradictory. Now think about the red heifer. Everything about the red heifer is contradictory. Everybody who touches the water of purification and the ashes becomes unclean. But the water with the ashes mixed in it, sprinkled on somebody who has come in contact with a corpse, makes him clean. Now, I have been doing this for years, and I keep trying to get Christ into this, and I can't do it. This is something that is completely a mystery. So in order to cleanse a person who has come under contact, somebody who is clean has to go get some of that water, sprinkle it on him. In that process, the clean person becomes unclean, and the unclean person becomes clean. So the guy that sprinkled the water on him now has to purify himself, and he just takes a bath and he's unclean until evening. It's no big deal. But the point is, everything about this is weird. That's a chuk. That's a law that we don't understand. And what God is doing there is He is telling us by these laws, there are things that are going on that you can't observe. You can't put it under a microscope. You can't see it with a telescope. You can't figure it out. Just do it. And I'll make it come out okay. So as I say, this is sort of the ultimate refutation of materialism, which is the idea that everything in the universe can be observed and explained by physical processes. Can't. So first off, the course of life. Everybody goes through this, 100% physical birth. And by the way, when Yeshua says that the thief comes in over the wall, as opposed to coming in through the gate of the sheepfold, what he's talking about there is the gate that authorizes you to come into the world is a woman. You have to be born of a woman. If you come into the world any other way, you are a usurper, come to steal, kill, and destroy. Hence, he is born of a woman because he came into the sheepfold by the legitimate gate. He's one of us. He's a man. He's also God, but he's a man. That whole parable about hopping over the wall of a sheepfold or coming in through the gate is talking about saying, I came in through the gate, my mother. So physical birth. Then you have life in the body. That's what we're all doing right now. And what you're doing there, and Paul uses an agricultural metaphor, as does Yeshua, and what he says is you are preparing seed that is going to be planted in the earth that is going to sprout as a resurrection body. That's the metaphor Paul uses. And it says the seed, unless it goes into the ground and is buried and dies, is barren. If it dies, it then comes up a new plant. So he uses that metaphor. Now, a seed is nothing but information. Think of a seed as a thumb drive. The important thing is not the thumb drive. The important thing is the information. So a seed has all of the information that is needed to make a plant. Stick it in the ground, give it some water, and it will produce a plant. The fact that you can also eat it and there's a whole bunch of other stuff is irrelevant to the purpose of the seed. You know, God did that so he could feed us, but from the seed's point of view, the only thing that matters is the information that it contains, and that will allow it to make a new plant. So what you're doing as you're going through the life you're going through right now is you are putting information into the seed that is going to be buried and result in you when you are raised from the dead. So life in the body is important. And one of the pathologies in the body of Christ is the idea that this life isn't important. What I'm focused on is in heaven. Nonsense. This life is important. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to go through it. And what you're doing is you are developing the character that is going to identify you in the world to come. As I'm fond of saying, I have no question whatsoever that I'll be able to recognize all of you in the world to come. I intend to have hair there, by the way. But other than that, we're going to be able to recognize each other because of the seed that we have prepared going through this life. Luke is still going to be Luke. My wife is still going to be Kay. We're going to be able to recognize each other. Upgraded, but recognizable. So everybody goes through physical death because the seed has to be planted in the earth, otherwise it doesn't produce a crop. So everybody goes through physical death, and then the next stage is, of course, resurrection. And what Yeshua did for us is he showed us this is possible. And by the way, the Pharisees should have been able to understand resurrection because there are resurrections in the Old Testament. So resurrections are something that are in their book. It's not something that it should have been foreign to them. But Yeshua is, of course, the premier resurrection example. So the first resurrection from our point of view are going to be those who die in Christ. If you are in Christ, you're a believer, and you get planted in the ground with your seed, when you come up, you will be the first resurrection. And what Scripture says is upon those who are in the first resurrection, the second death has no hold. So if you're in the first resurrection, that's it. Then there's going to be a second resurrection of everybody else. And those people are going to stand before the great white throne. And they are going to be judged. And some of them are going to be lake of fire. Some of them are going to go on to eternal life. And that decision is way above my pay grade. That's something that Yeshua himself will do, and I have no idea who's where. So the whole point of all of this, starting with the red cow and starting with all of Scripture, is death defiles. So when you come in contact with death in this world, you are defiled for a period of time. And there's a process now to get you undefiled. That's the red heifer. So death is not your friend. It's something that has to happen, and it's something that everybody goes through. But it wasn't plan A, it's plan B. Plan A was in the garden, and we decided we didn't like the garden. So now we're in plan B, where everybody has to go through all of this. But it defiles. It isn't your friend. And the last enemy that will be overcome, of course, is death itself. And that's in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no death. The thing about Judaism and Christianity, since we are the heirs of Judaism, virtually every culture on earth worships their ancestors. Everybody believes that there's something going on after physical death, whether it's Valhalla or whatever. Everybody believes that this isn't the end. And so what most cultures do, and paganism does, and idol worship does, is it has this obsession with connecting with the dead. You know, seances, where you get to talk to your dead Aunt Sadie, or whatever it is. We have this fascination with it, and there's whole cultures built around it. Ancestor worship, demon worship, etc. That is absolutely foreign to Judaism. It's absolutely foreign to Christianity. So if you're tempted to try and talk to your dead Aunt Sadie, don't. You're not supposed to. If she was a believer, we'll be waiting for you, and you'll recognize her. But in the meantime, she's got nothing to say to you, and you got nothing to say to her, as opposed to most pagan cultures and idol worship. Let's talk for a minute where we see the red cow again, because this isn't the only place. Wedding at Cana, Yeshua's first miracle, where he turns water into wine. Let me read that for you. In John 2, and I'm going to start in verse 6. Now there were six stone jars of water that were for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Yeshua said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, he did not know where it came from. That's important. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants knew. That's also important because servants of God get let in on things that God is doing that other people don't understand. So being a servant of God has benefits other than the obvious ones. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Yeshua did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. Now let me tell you what's going on there. And by the way, not every Bible scholar believes this. I believe it. Do with this as you see fit. You had this red heifer that was burned. The ashes are collected. Some ash is then put into water. That's what you need to purify someone who has come into contact with death. The way it was done, as I understand it in Israel, is you burn this red heifer, and I think it's divided into three parts. Part one is mixed a small amount with water and is sent throughout the region to various synagogues. In other words, God forbid your uncle Mordecai dies, and you've got to deal with his body and bury him and all that kind of stuff. You haven't sinned, but you have come in contact with death. What you don't want to have to do is traipse all the way from Dan down to Jerusalem to get cleaned up. So what they would do is they would distribute this stuff throughout the land so that you could go to your local synagogue and go through the ritual to get cleansed from taking care of your uncle Mordecai. That's what these six jars are. They are the jars of water with the ashes of the red heifer. Now, let me give you a gross example to explain what's going on here. Let's say you have a party, brand new house. You've got this brand new toilet, which has never been used. So you go into the bathroom and you dip some water out of the toilet and you make some punch with it. Now, scientifically, there's no problem with that, but you wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't. And you certainly wouldn't tell your guests, hey, I got this out of the brand new toilet. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's going on here. Because this is a wedding. And remember that the water of the red heifer defiles clean people and cleans defiled people. So what you don't want to do at a wedding is make everybody at the wedding defiled, because that's going to mess everything up. The wedding is going to be ruined. Everybody there is going to be unclean. They now have to get cleaned up, and you just absolutely would not do that. Sorry to be graphic, but that's what's going on. And that's, by the way, why the master of the feast does not know where the water came from. Because if he did, he wouldn't drink it. And certainly they wouldn't give it to the guests. So what's going on? What's happening here in his first miracle is Yeshua says, I am stronger than death. I am Messiah. I can take this, which would defile any normal person, and I can turn it into the wine of joy. I can take death, and I can turn it into the wine of gladness. That's what he's saying. So his first miracle is saying, I can transcend all of this. And that's why that ceremony back in Numbers is given. A, it's practical, has to be done in order to make sure that the priests don't die when they come in to serve before the altar. But it's also there to tell us that death is not your friend. Death defiles, but death is not forever. So this whole passage that we're dealing with today, it's just soaked in death. You got the death of Miriam, you got the death of Aaron, you got Moses being told you can't go into the land, you got snakes. The whole thing is about death. And the whole purpose of it is to tell us that death is not forever. It also tells us that there's stuff going on in God's kingdom that we don't understand. The red heifer is sort of the poster child for a cook, which is a law that just absolutely makes zero rational sense. But God says, do it. It's important. As I'm very fond of saying, I have no idea what God has against shrimp. I just don't know. But it's one of the things he said, don't eat it. Fine, I won't eat it. I don't know why. He just said don't, so I don't. And there's lots of stuff in the Torah that is that way. And he gave it to us for our good. He gave it to us for our blessing. And so I just trust that for some reason bacon's off and I don't eat bacon anymore. So as you go out, understand, first off, that when people try and tell you that there isn't anything more than physical processes in this world, you can just look at them and snicker because you know better. Second, as you go through this life, recognize that what you're doing is you are preparing a seed to be planted in the earth to be raised a new creation. So go through your life that way, recognizing that the things that you're doing are important. They have eternal consequences. Treat them that way.